Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Wherever you're listening, across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on 150 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein from the free state of Iowa filling in for Todd today. What a fun program you heard yesterday when Todd was in Georgia. He's making his way back to the home base in Memphis. He'll join you on Newsmax 2 at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central today, and back behind this microphone tomorrow. But in the meantime, my privilege to speak with you from my home base and Iowa's home for the Todd Starnes Show. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And again, a privilege as always to be here in the Liberty University studio. We invite your calls, a great guest list that Grace has assembled, but we'll make time for you at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Dr. Louis Perron, he is a global strategist with regard to politics and elections, author of a book entitled Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections. And we're going to talk about this unique presidential election, how the lawfare that is in place against President Trump may work to his political advantage, and more. Dr. Louis Perron joins us after the bottom of the hour. Setting the table for the rest of the day, if you're kind enough to be with us for the full three-hour program. Coming up in the next hour, return guest Phil Kirpin of American Commitment. We're going to talk about this thing called net neutrality and why the Democrats are so eager to reinstate it. That should be a clue that it's a bad idea, America. We'll talk with Phil Kirpin about it coming up in about an hour. 90 minutes away, Mihek Cook, an attorney, will speak about the state of New York versus Donald Trump and the Michael Cohen testimony. I have some thoughts on that I'm going to share with you in a moment as well. She'll be here in our next hour. And in the final hour of the program, the state superintendent of schools in Oklahoma, Ryan Walters, he sued the Biden administration. We'll find out why. And U.S. Senator Charles Grassley from my state of Iowa will join us in hour three as well. But as noted, your calls always at 901-260-5926. Let's start with terminology. Stop saying hush money trial. Just stop it. Stop referring to the travesty that's going on in New York as a hush money trial. I know that it's easy to use that phrase and differentiate the criminal case in New York from other cases that have been raised around the country, particularly because this case in New York has to do with documents. And if we say the documents trial in New York, then people are thinking, well, wait, I thought that was in D.C. and Florida. Okay, I get why some people say hush money. But those who use the phrase hush money more often than not, are doing it because they are against President Trump and are trying to fill a narrative. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. Hush money, paying someone to not speak, that is not against the law. And it is done commonly. Paying someone in a contract to do something or not to do something, that is entirely 500% legal. And as I'll explain in a moment, having your lawyer make the payment is also legal and entirely how it is done. The charge, in other words, the charge is that they have elevated up to felony status. That's something that's going to be reversible, I would suggest, on appeal to begin with. But let's just go with the actual charges. They have to do with documents and how payments were listed, whether they were legal expenses as listed or whether they should have been listed as something else. That is the thinnest level of criminal allegation. Don't take my word for that. That's not my interpretation of the facts or the testimony. That's what the charging documents say. The charging documents say that there was fraudulent activity with how this payment was listed in documents. That's it. So when you say hush money, it sounds bad. Yeah, that's why they want you to think of it as a hush money trial, because it sounds bad. Inadvertently listing something in a document, that's not criminal. And frankly, I think that it was listed accurately, and I'll mention in a moment. But you see, the whole point on this is to whip up a narrative that embarrasses Mr. Trump, that makes him look weaker in the eyes of some, less appealing in the eyes of some. For example, Stephanie Clifford, I believe that's her given name. Her performance name is Stormy Daniels, but I like to use people's real names. So in any case, she testifies in this case. Underline this part, folks. There was no reason to allow her to testify. None whatsoever. She should have been blocked from testifying from the start. Why? Because it does not matter if she and Mr. Trump had any sort of a romantic relationship, sexual relationship. It does not matter with regard to the facts of this case. What matters in the facts of this case is whether or not the payments that were made were listed accurately and legally. The only reason for having her on the stand to tell a sordid and lurid tale that stretched out over 3 calendar days, including the Wednesday day off of the trial, the only reason for doing that is to try to make Mr. Trump look bad, to have the jury think ill of him. That's not part of the charge. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I don't believe anyone has denied a payment was made. So if you're not denying the payment was made, you don't need her to testify about anything. At best, you testify that she received a payment and she acknowledges receiving the payment. Period. This is supposedly a crime of intent. Was there intent to commit fraud? She has no information on that. All she can do is tell a story that is wildly inconsistent with the story she has told publicly for nearly a decade. That's the whole point of this, is whipping up this frenzy so that Trump is diminished in the eyes of some, because we are facing a very close election this year and every vote matters. When I was in law school, and it's now been more years ago than I care to count, We first learned this phraseology, and it goes like this. If the facts of the case are with you, then argue the facts to the court and the jury. If the law is with you, then argue the law to the judge and the jury. And if neither the facts or the law are with you, then wave your arms and yell like hell. Friends, the prosecution in New York is waving its arms and, forgive me, yelling like hell. Because there is no case. Certainly having an adult film actor on the stand has no relevance to the actual charge. And that's why we have to resist allowing it being called a hush money trial. Hush money is legal. For example, the whole definition of this is paying someone to either do something or not do something, to speak or not speak when they had a right to do it. So, for example, let's say that you and I enter into an employment agreement. I agree to pay you money and you work for me. That's the exchange. That is what in law is called the bargained for exchange. I mean, I'm not trying to turn this into a law school class, but I think it's pretty easy for you to understand these basic concepts so that you can see how damaging this narrative is that they're attempting, right? Because they're just mushing all of this together. That's not a technical legal phrase, mushing, but you understand it. So the whole point is you promise to do something, I'll pay you. All right. These agreements, these non-disclosure agreements, they're personal services contracts. Payment is made so that a person doesn't do something or does do something. In this case, don't tell your tale to the media and we will pay you money. Adults exchanging agreements. That's all that this is. And from a strictly legal perspective, it is nothing more complicated than your average employment agreement. It is also not uncommon for someone in a high-profile position in business and the media to get somewhat wild claims made, and you wind up paying it off simply because you don't dare let the story get out because somebody might believe it, and because it's going to cost you more to defend yourself than what's being claimed. We call those nuisance claims often. And as a lawyer, I've been involved in these where you say to another party, I have a client who's willing to testify that this happened. We're willing to file a civil lawsuit, but we will promise to not file that lawsuit and go away if you pay us a certain sum of money. Now, from the person who feels they're wronged, they win because it's a sure thing and they don't have to go through the trauma of trial and the time. For the other party, well, in essence, it's a sure thing because they preserve reputation. Whether or not they have any plans to run for public office. What I'm saying, folks, is this is not uncommon. And the method by which it was transacted through Mr. Cohen, then a lawyer, again, not uncommon. I'll explain that part of it if you'll be kind enough to stay here while we take this break. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation. Election strategist Dr. Louis Perron after the bottom of the hour break. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show.
Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Dylan comes back with Billy Joel music. I heard earlier this week Billy Joel has turned 75 years of age. Oh my, this is not good for those of us who are at the end of the baby boom era. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation, and that is the number that Steve used. He's calling in from Arkansas, listening on the flagship, the mighty 990. Steve, thanks for calling the show. What's on your mind?
I was listening to your explanation of the Trump trial there, Jeff, about basically being about fraudulent documentation of his expenses or misclassifying expense.
Yeah.
If we want to use that as grounds for criminal activity, what kind of crimes could we charge Congress with? Every bill they produce, everything they do up there is fraudulent in that definition.
You mean by calling something that is nothing but an infusion of money we don't have into the economy the Inflation Reduction Act? That kind of fraud, Steve? Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean. They'll pass a bill that's thousands of pages, or a budget that's thousands of pages, and there may be, you can count on your fingers the pages that address the title of the budget. Everything else is something that doesn't even have anything to do with that.
Well, you know, there's something related to that is tied to the Trump claim of immunity, and that is, for example, if you say something, and I don't encourage you to, if you say something in this conversation that is libel or slander against an elected official, well, they might be able to sue you. But if they said it about you on the floor of the House or the Senate, if it is part of the public proceedings, you can't sue them. That doesn't seem fair either, does it?
Well, they live in a completely different world than we do. Everything about their world, their laws, their economics, nothing in their world we could do in ours.
Well, when you consider, and that's an excellent point, Steve, when you consider that virtually every act passed by Congress that puts a burden on a small business owner or on the public, they exempt themselves from it from the start. That certainly seems to be the height of arrogance. What do we do to turn that around in your mind?
I don't think we can turn it around politically, because they've taken our power to do that away by all the corruption. The same thing we've been talking about, the corruptions they've done of our elections. I think it's going to have to crash and be, hopefully we get a chance to build it back. Hopefully.
Steve, that's an excellent point. Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for calling in from Arkansas today, listening on the Mighty 990 in Memphis. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the conversation. And as Steve was discussing in the last segment, I'm talking about the fact that we need to stop calling this a hush money trial, because it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with listing expenses on documents. And you're only calling it hush money and having porn movie actors testify if you're trying to whip up some frenzy, or if you're trying to muddy the waters, if you will. Here's the other thing about this that I think is really important. They're making a big deal about the fact that Michael Cohen, as the lawyer, paid the money to the porn star and then got reimbursed. That's how it's done, people. Think of this for a moment. Let's say that you are, and I hope you're not. As a lawyer, I hope you never need my services or anyone else's, because it just gets complicated. I'm glad we're there to help people who need it. But let's say you sue someone, and there is a settlement agreed upon to where you're going to get money. Are you going to trust it as a personal check from the person who did you wrong? Or are you only going to trust it if it is a check that comes from the law office, where their accounts are monitored by each individual state bar associations? You're not going to take their word for it. You just sued your buddy Fred for something. Are you going to take Fred's personal check? No. This is how it is done. So if I'm representing a client, we're not taking a check from the wrongdoer. The wrongdoer pays the lawyer, On the other side, that lawyer sends me one of their checks, which is guaranteed to have money in the account because of the state rules monitoring these things. And that's how we pass it on to the client. Are there times that the lawyer, in this case Michael Cohen, fronts the money and then gets reimbursed? Yes, that's exactly what happened here. And if you're Mr. Trump and you're writing a big check to a lawyer, what do you list it as? Legal expenses. Period. It makes perfect sense if you live in the real world, but if you're trying to take down a political figure, well, that's what they're trying to do. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Quick break now, back on the Todd Starn Show.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Dr. Louis Perron. Dr. Perron is the political strategist and consultant, and he is the author of a really informative book entitled Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections. Dr. Perron, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today?
I'm great. A wonderful good morning to America.
Good to speak with you, sir. You are a resident of Switzerland. I believe you're speaking to us from the Philippines today. Your background was in Europe, but you came to this country to study political elections. What drove you to pursue this as your career?
Well, when I was growing up, I always thought that I would be running myself. Now, unfortunately, I was born in Switzerland. And I say unfortunately because Swiss politics is really just boring to death. And running in Switzerland is really boring. It may serve the country well, but it was really not so appealing for me. So I went to the U.S. and got my master at the George Washington University in political management some 20 years ago. And it was actually in D.C. that I found out that the role behind the scenes is much more exciting for me and allows me to do what I love and follow my passion, politics, while having an international lifestyle and travel the world. So off I went.
I really enjoyed speaking with you on my program in Iowa, and I was thrilled at the opportunity to share your expertise with this national audience. You have written, and again, people may find you at louisperron.com, the website. We Americanize it and would say louisperron.com, but you folks can figure it out if you do the search. But this is an interesting election in America for president on so many levels. You have an interesting thought with regard to all of these legal cases being brought against Mr. Trump and how he can turn those to his political advantage. Talk a bit about that, if you would, please.
Yes, because while it may take away for him for the campaign trail, I've never really believed in rallies. I think rallies are expensive and time-consuming, but don't really matter as much. What really matters, of course, nowadays is elections are won in the media. So in that sense, a crisis a scandal, an allegation, is also an opportunity if it's handled well. So I think the key here is for somebody like Trump, who's under fire, is to use the attention of the media to circle back to his main campaign message. And I think in his case, since he's running against the incumbent, the campaign message has to be about the incumbent and actually prosecute the incumbent. So instead of talking about an affair from a decade ago, we should be talking about the price of groceries since I left office. That's how I would handle it. And I think that's actually how he is handling it.
And beyond that, I believe you've noted that the sheer number of cases allows him to step away from the minutiae of each individual case and say, look, this is a conspiracy against me. They're all in it against me. And he can then sort of kind of brush off any of the specific allegations by saying it's part of an overall scheme. Do I have that right?
Yes, exactly. I think that if you're accused of several different things, then it makes it much easier to sort of treat them all together and dismiss it as politically motivated. So in the book that you mentioned, I write about Volodymyr Zelensky from Ukraine, who is really a masterful politician. And when he ran for president of Ukraine as the first office he ever ran for, he was a comedian, a TV celebrity, and the first office he ever ran for was the presidency of Ukraine, which is actually quite a big country. So he was, of course, when he started to rise in the surveys, he was seen as a threat, so he became the target of attacks. So what he did was to make it a competition. He asked his Instagram followers to send in the most ridiculous allegations against him, and thereby really ridiculing the attacks against him and treating them all together and dismissing them as politically motivated. And of course, as a former comedian, he was just really perfectly suited for that approach. And it allowed him not to address the actual allegations thrown at him.
Dr. Louis Perron is our guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He's joining us from the Philippines. Beat the Incumbent is the name of the book. Here on the Todd Starnes Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. This is a unique election because, yes, there is an incumbent, Mr. Biden, but you have to say to some degree Mr. Trump is an incumbent as well. So as someone who has styled a book called Beat the Incumbent, how do you work that when in reality you sort of have two incumbents, do you not?
Yes, and I think for the U.S., this is a situation that you would know from congressional races when sometimes because of redistricting, there's an incumbent versus an incumbent. But at the national level, in modern times, this is really uncharted territory. And I still think that as a challenger, you have to make it a referenda on the incumbent. But of course, it helps Trump that people now actually have a pretty good memory about his time in office, rightfully so or wrong. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I think the reason why he is doing quite well in the polls now, actually better than ever, is because people remember it well. And I think it's I have a good memory of his time in office. And it's actually something I've noticed in my work around the globe that very often people have a positive memory about the past and glorify the past. It's not really because things were better then. It's just human nature to a certain degree that we think it was better before because that's when we were younger. That's when we were prettier, we were healthier, so we remember the good things from before and forget the bad things. And I think that's really working at Trump's favor at this point in time.
That is a fascinating observation, and I'm going to draw an analogy which is rather awkward, but often when someone passes away, no matter what kind of a scoundrel they were, people always speak well of them and they remember them fondly, etc. And it strikes me, you know, it's very similar that in real time, you may remember something a certain way, but with the passage of time and what you see every day as perhaps in a political sense not being the kind of economy that you want or policies that you want, it enhances that memory. And so Mr. Trump just simply has to bring up a few examples of the past, and in essence, we fill in the rest of the blanks, do we not?
Yes, absolutely. I think that is, to a certain degree, human nature. Now, of course, from the Biden campaign, you don't want this to be a referendum about Biden. You want to make this a binary choice. And in particular, you want to remind people of the bad things during the Trump time that people may have forgotten, the constant turmoil, the chaos, the mismanagement of COVID. And I think that's exactly what the Biden campaign is doing. They want to make this a binary choice where people, especially the undecideds, have to choose the lesser evil from their perspective. So, and I think that's actually the only way Biden can win. Because, I mean, if you look at the fundamentals of the race, this is a very difficult election for Joe Biden.
Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections is the book. Dr. Louis Perron is the author, and he is our guest on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. That does not help to inspire an electorate, though, does it? Because, in essence, you have each candidate saying how bad the other guy is. That doesn't really motivate people in the way that positive aspiration would, does it?
Yes, and I think there is still some time left for a positive message. I mean, I would say until maybe summer, especially if I'm Joe Biden, I would try to sell my record. And if I'm Trump, I would try to lay out a vision for another term. But I think I would say after the conventions, that window will probably close. And since we have here the very particular situation that there are two candidates that are just really disliked. I mean, in every poll, a majority of voters has a negative opinion about both. So I think the end of the campaign, the end game, will be just a lot of negative ads and make this a referendum choice between the lesser evil. I wrote a piece for Real Clear Politics about the double haters who will decide the election. So these are the people who exactly have a negative opinion about both of the candidates. And I mean, while there are less swing voters than 20 years ago, they're still the ones who will decide the election. And I read the other day, it's like 6% of the electorate in like a handful of states who will ultimately decide the race.
Let me ask you finally, Dr. Perron, you've done this now as a professional consultant for nearly two decades. What is different about what someone like you does now as opposed to 20 years ago, the start of this century?
Yes, of course, speed has changed rapidly. I think some of the tools have changed. The media cycle is now nonstop. So, in other words, the tools and the environment in which it takes place has changed enormously. That said, I think the fundamentals of sound strategy have not changed. You still need discipline. You still need a clear plan to manage the chaos. You need a message and you need a target audience, and you need to have a mix of tools to deliver your message to your audience, and you need to track it. So, my book is not about the latest buzz. It's about the fundamentals. And I think they're still the same as when I started out, and they will be the same for a long time to come.
Dr. Louis Perron is the author of Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections. Incisive material. What a great conversation as always, sir. Thank you for sharing your insight. I appreciate it, especially given the, I guess it's a 12-hour time difference between Eastern time and where you are in the Philippines. Thanks so much for sharing your insight with the audience.
Well, thank you for having me, and I wish you a great day.
You as well, sir. Dr. Louis Perron, and he's on the Twitter X machine at Dr._Perron, Perron, and online we would Americanize it to louisperron.com, louisperron.com. Beat the Incumbent. He joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the Philippines, away from his home base in Switzerland, on the Todd Starnes Show. Now, what I really find interesting about what he is putting forth for us he doesn't have a dog in the fight. In other words, he's not working for either side. This is just someone who advises campaigns, telling us what the landscape looks like. And the thing that I like about this book, yes, obviously I love politics, and so I love hearing about these campaigns, but this is a really good book for those of you who are not involved in a campaign, but it talks about the tactics that they use to lure you in. This is sort of like the playbook for a candidate, and so it helps you to watch what to look for and how you can filter through some of the garbage. Beat the Incumbent, Dr. Louis Perron, and again, he joined us, as do all guests to the Todd Starnes Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the conversation. Lydia is on the phone. She'll give us any callers we have after the break. Happy to talk to you. Short break now, back with your calls on the other side. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join us. All guests on this program appear via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. If you're like me, you've had enough of paying money to support companies that hate our values and use the money we pay them, in essence, against us. If you're tired of compromise, then it's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Not only do they offer dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, they do it without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. They're 100% U.S.-based. Thank you very much. Customer service team makes switching easy, and I have gone online here actually while on the air with you in the past and worked my way through. It is so easy to start it online. You do that by going to patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. And by the way, you get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So make the switch today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call them at 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, Patriot Mobile. Use the offer code Todd for that free activation. Continuing from the Liberty University studio, coming up in our next hour, we're going to hear from Phil Kirpin of American Commitment. Now, this is an organization that looks out for all of us in so many different ways, impact on the economy, etc. And the Obama-Biden administration thought net neutrality was a great policy, and the Trump administration got rid of it, luckily. Well, guess what? It's back. And this is the sort of thing, it's a great example of a policy that seems neutral, that is a little confusing because we're talking about service providers and access to information, and it sounds good until you realize that the government is the one who controls who sends information flowing through these big data pipes. We'll talk about net neutrality and what's really behind it, and why they're so eager to get it back in place before the next election, when Phil Kirpin of American Commitment joins us just after the top of the hour. Mehek Cook an attorney from Ohio, will talk to us about the Trump legal case next hour as well. And that's how we started the hour, was me suggesting to you that don't fall into the trap of calling it a hush money case. Paying money to someone so that they don't do something, like don't talk to the media, that is entirely legal. Having the payment run through a lawyer is entirely legal. If you are an individual who pays money to a lawyer, regardless of whether it's for their services or settlement, that's a legal expense. That's what was listed in the documents. Even if the payments were made to people like the woman who calls herself Stormy Daniels, even if that was made because Mr. Trump's team did not want it to look bad for an election in 2016, that doesn't make it an election expense. And elevating these misdemeanors up to felonies because they couldn't get them as misdemeanors because they were time barred, it's just the best example of the worst abuse of attorneys and judicial discretion. That's really all there is to it. But we will break it down further in the next hour. 1 hour down, two to go. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Come on back, won't you, after the top of the hour break from the Liberty University studio. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of the Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on 150 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the free state of Iowa. Coming to you from my home base, the home for Todd Starnes in Iowa, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Good to be with you today. Todd making his way back to Memphis from Georgia, where they had that great program yesterday that you heard live. He'll be on Newsmax 2, as always, 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central today, and back behind this microphone tomorrow. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment of the program, but joining us now, live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, is Phil Kirpin. Mr. Kirpin is president of American Commitment. Phil Kirpin, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Follow Mr. Kirpin on the Twitter X machine, at Kirpin, K-E-R-P-E-N. Great posts with a lot of information on a variety of topics. And I wanted to connect with you again here on the national program today because of this net neutrality thing. And this is the sort of policy I suggested last hour, and you tell me if I'm wrong, please. But this is the sort of policy that, on the face of it, might not look bad, and it's just complicated enough that people are going to ignore things. But net neutrality has broad-reaching ramifications to actually limit the material people may get. Is that correct?
Well, I think it may end up having that effect. I don't think its proponents would admit it, but I think anytime you invite government into something and you give government more power over private companies, private enterprise, that power can and will be abused. And I think it's hard to make sense of why the left has been so obsessed with putting these regulations on internet providers, despite there never being any problem or issue that would require it. Other than that they want to use the power, they want to abuse the power. They want to be able to call up the companies that they have very strict economic regulatory control over and say, you might want to, quote, voluntarily do something about this election denial or COVID denial or climate, whatever disinformation, whatever they're after, having an economic grip over these companies may in fact be used towards controlling the flow of content. And you know, they deny that, but Todd, if that's not what it's about, it's not clear what the heck it is about, because you know, their hoax was exposed. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, they said, if we deregulate, then you're not going to be able to use the internet anymore. You're going to get charged for every tweet. People aren't going to be able to get. There was one article that actually said people won't be able to access suicide prevention resources, and they'll all kill themselves. So they were literally predicting mass death, the end of the internet, all of this. None of that happened. Zero. Every single negative prediction they made was false. In fact, the only consequences we had of deregulation were positive. Prices went down a lot and speeds went up a lot. And speeds went up about 500% for wired, about 800% for wireless. So we're paying less and we're getting more, everything you could ever want from a deregulation. And they voted to reverse it anyway. So it can't be on the economics. So it must be about something else.
You mean capitalism, when allowed to flourish, actually works for the benefit of people, Mr. Kirpin?
It certainly did in this instance. I mean, I think it's one of the things I'm very interested to see, if President Trump does win, and if he appoints an FCC that repeals this again, will they have the same apocalyptic claims and all of the same crazy over-the-top rhetoric as last time it was repealed, or will they be at least a little bit embarrassed by how wildly wrong they were and dial that back a bit? I don't know. That would be an interesting thing to see.
I'm not sure there's much shame on that side of the aisle, especially when it has to do with power. Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment. They are online at AmericanCommitment.org. He joins us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today on this Tuesday. Explain, if you will, in the most basic sense, what the Biden administration's reimposition of this, what does it exactly mean to the average consumer, in terms of either cost or data information based upon past history?
Well, what they've done is they've done two things. They've brought back the Obama regulation, so they've reclassified internet service like you get from your phone or your cable company or your wireless provider. They've reclassified it as a regulated public utility, which brings in all of the 1930s era laws for the old Ma Bell monopoly phone network are now in play. And then they've kind of said, well, but we're not going to use them, or at least not use them right away. And so they've sort of given themselves economic power to set rates, to determine what kind of services can be offered, to determine commercial terms for business-to-business transactions, for business-to-consumer transactions, for regulating any aspect of how the networks themselves are managed. Essentially, they've given themselves unlimited power over these companies, and then they've kind of said, but you know, we probably won't use it unless we, you know, see something that's out of line or that kind of thing. So when you have the imposition of vast regulatory power over a sector, you get less investment, you get less competition, you get higher prices, for the simple reason that these networks cost billions of dollars to build out. And if now your ability to earn a return on that investment depends on, you know, the favorable whim of federal bureaucrats, you got to think twice. The break-even point becomes different. There are fewer places where it makes sense to build out because you're not as sure that you're going to be able to earn a return. And so when we deregulated, we got a lot more investment, we got a lot lower prices, and we got a lot higher speeds. If we re-regulate, I'm not going to be like the left and say it's going to be the end of the universe and there's going to be mass death or any of that other stuff, because you make over-the-top claims and then you look dumb. But I will say that with regulations, we're going to pay more and get less relative to what would happen without them. And so I think that's going to be the main impact for most people. And then, of course, in addition to bringing back the Obama regulations, new under Biden FCC, we now have equity regulation as well. So now a company can get hammered if they have any pricing policy or build out or any other aspect of the business that has a disparate impact based on race or sex or any of the other protected characteristics. And I think what that's going to do is it's probably going to mean that discounted plans in lower income areas and special promotional plans and that kind of thing, they're going to be much harder to come by, because if any kind of if any kind of difference in price across areas could be the basis for a discrimination complaint and a crackdown by federal regulators, you're going to tend to see, let's just charge everyone the same price, price, which is going to tend to be a higher price. And so now we've got kind of this double whammy of public utility type regulation of what Obama did being brought back, plus now we've got this new digital discrimination equity overlay on top of that. And what I believe this will mean for most people in the near term is speeds are not going to continue to increase at the rate they had been increasing, and prices will probably, they've mostly stopped falling and started rising a little bit already in the last year or so, but I think you could expect prices to rise further with less competition and less investment.
Phil Kirpin of American Commitment, AmericanCommitment.org, the website. He joins us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. It's one thing, and you might have heard me snicker audibly when you said that the government was going to have all this power, but they weren't, you know, they said they weren't going to use it. Well,
right.
These days, I mean, we don't believe any of that. And I may have the chronology wrong, so please correct me. But when they first put this in place during the Obama years, they were, again, benevolent dictators and saying, we're just looking out for the people. But since that time, we have all of this evidence of an administration putting its thumb on the scale, trying to control information. If they even had the reputation as an innocent actor before, Phil, I think the record is complete of why the average American ought to be really suspicious of their motives in doing this now, not only because they're so hell-bent on doing it, but because of the fact that their track record is to twist the arm behind the back of these people they can control. Why would we think they wouldn't do it in the future?
Right. You know, back when Obama originally did this, and Obama did this twice, he did a version of it in his first term, which got struck down in court, and then he did an actually even more draconian version in his second term, which is what Trump repealed. And back then I said, look, you know, there's no actual problem here. The phone and cable company is not going to block what website you can go to and redirect traffic or any of the stuff that the people on the left were saying would happen without regulation, because if they did that, they would have lost all their customers. It was a highly competitive market and is a highly competitive market. And the point that I made back then is I said, you know, if you take this highly competitive market situation and you, instead of having each of these companies in charge of their own networks and competing with each other, you say, we're going to have a federal bureaucracy that's in charge of all of it, you actually create the risk of censorship, because now the federal bureaucracy are a single point of failure in terms of abusing people's speech rights and leaning on companies that they have economic control over if there's certain content they want suppressed. And I got called a conspiracy theorist and, oh, that would never happen, and that's crazy. And then to your point, that's literally what they did with social media companies during the Biden administration, is they called up social media companies and said, you know, delete this post, delete this disinformation, this misinformation, this denialism about COVID and the election and climate change and all of this stuff. And if they have regulatory control over the physical layer, over the phone and cable companies and wireless companies, and, you know, those companies all know that you can be, your business could be destroyed tomorrow by the regulators, and they decide to call you up one day and suggest that you, quote, voluntarily do something about their political opponents, you know, I think they would start blocking websites and censoring stuff. What choice would they really have? And so I think it's a very dangerous path to go down for that reason. And to your point, like, why would we discount the risk of this when the very same people just did it, you know, in a related context?
Noted conspiracy theorist Phil Kirpin joining us from American Commitment, AmericanCommitment.org. So much good information on this website. There's also a donate button if you're so inclined as well. Mr. Kirpin, I always appreciate the conversation. So informative. Thanks for taking the time today. Have a great afternoon.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
Phil Kirpin, American Commitment, not a conspiracy theorist, but way too accurate for the other side's good. AmericanCommitment.org, and he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. 901-260-5926 is how you can connect with us in the Liberty University studio. We'll take your calls after this break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. We've been watching, and I'm sure you've heard about it, in the news that you listen to at the top and bottom of hours on your local station, but this is from Ocala, Florida this morning. A bus carrying farm workers, and that's in central Florida, overturned, 8 dead, 40 others injured. Now, the bus was transporting 53 farm workers to a watermelon harvest site in Dunellen, Florida, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The bus struck another vehicle. The bus then appears to have crashed through a fence and ended on its side in a field. And judging from the photos, this was what looks to be like a school bus, painted white, but imagine the structure of a school bus. And if it didn't roll, it was close to it. And you can tell the structure of those things is not as solid as you would like. And so the integrity of the actual structure itself severely compromised. So once again, we're watching that news. No word if weather was a factor or not. But again, 8 dead, 40 others injured, of 53 farm workers on a bus being transported to a field where they would be harvesting watermelon. That news from Central Florida today. 901-260-5926 is how you can contact us and continue this conversation. We'll speak with an attorney about the Trump case in New York, which, as I said last hour, don't call it a hush money case. There's nothing wrong with hush money. This is a document and fraud case, and they want you to call it hush money so that you'll think that's the bad part, because they can't prove the fraud. At least that's my view. We'll see what Mihek Cook thinks when she joins us just after the bottom of the hour. Coming up in our third hour today, we'll hope you'll stay with us just after the top of the hour. The State Superintendent of Education of Oklahoma, Ryan Walters, will be back. He just sued the Biden administration. You'll find out why. And yesterday I was listening to, I guess it was hour three of the program, when Todd was on location in Georgia for that great WDUN time down there. And he was talking to an individual who was 90 years of age. It just turned 90 not long ago. And I thought, okay, we can match that. Also coming up in our third hour, Iowa U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, who turns 91 in mid-September. The senior most senator in terms of years of service currently in the U.S. Senate, Charles Grassley of Iowa, joins us. And that conversation comes up in hour three of this program. Going back to the Trump legal case, and it was a point that I was making last hour, and I just, for those of you who weren't able to be here, I just want to draw the loop on it. There's a lot being made that Mr. Trump told Mr. Cohen to pay the woman whose stage name is Ms. Daniels. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing illegal about that. It is a services contract. She would have signed contracts to appear in movies or to act. They pay money. She would act, or whatever it is you do in those films. This is no different. This is, we're going to pay you money. Don't tell whatever story you're claiming happened. Because keep in mind, she denied it repeatedly until just last week. How convenient and coincidental. And so they're making a big deal about the fact that Trump knew about these payments. I would kind of hope so. It's his business expense that we're talking about here. And it doesn't matter that he knew about the payments. It doesn't matter that he knew what they were supposedly for. They're trying to suggest there's some big conspiracy. Not the case. The only thing at issue here is, did they list them as legal expenses, truly believing them to be something else? As I mentioned an hour ago, if you were with us, and I hope that you were, if the lawyer is handling the payment and you, the client, reimburse the lawyer, what else are you going to write on it? I assume Michael Cohen sent the Trump Organization or whomever a bill, an itemized statement for services. And if there's litigation, you're paying for time, you're paying for expenses. Sometimes the expenses involve travel. Sometimes it has to do with literally, and they hold up cards on an easel or something to show the jury or witness. I mean, you got to go to the Staples or the Kinko's or wherever you get these things done to print them up. The law firm advances that. The client repays it. So here's an itemized statement. Time spent, expenses. here's the expense where we advance the money to pay the woman, who I believe her given name is Clifford, Ms. Clifford, the settlement. That's all part of the bill from the lawyer. Why would you not categorize that as legal expenses? Because if you're going to say that money advanced by the law firm cannot be deducted as a legal expense, you're going to turn the entire country upside down, because we do business the way they did business. But that doesn't serve the narrative, does it? More on this when we come back. Mihek Cook, attorney from Ohio, joins us. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. So grateful that you're along with us in the Liberty University studio on the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join the conversation, and we'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Mihek Cook. She is an attorney based in Ohio. Ms. Cook, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being on the program. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me on.
I confess to you that I am also a lawyer, and I have spent a lot of time in the program today looking at the state of New York versus Donald Trump and where the thing just doesn't add up. But I'd be interested in hearing what your thoughts are as Mr. Cohen goes back onto the stand today on this Tuesday.
Well, Jeff, I have to tell you, it doesn't matter if you have a law degree or not today, because when you look at this court case, every single American is probably scratching their head and wondering, where is the crime? You have a serial perjurer, Michael Cohen, who had lied to every branch of government and every single authority, stating that he violated attorney-client privilege by tape recording President Trump, but just once, and we're supposed to rely on that, when it was Cohen himself who put a legal expense that President Trump was supposed to allegedly pay. And I think the bigger issue today is that they have President Trump locked up into court rather than campaigning over a business expense. And to date, we have not heard of a crime. If anything, Jeff, I think it's Michael Cohen that's again lying on stand. And this is where the conviction should lie. It should be against Cohen, not against President Trump.
I suggested that those who call it a hush money case are simply playing into the narrative of the left, because paying someone to do something or not do something, that's just contract law. This is a documents case. I have a feeling that what they're trying to do by having someone like stage name is Stormy Daniels on the stand, there was no reason for that testimony whatsoever other than to play into this narrative to make people think less of the former president. And it has not one bit of difference to make to the actual legal standards at issue in the case.
You've nailed it. I mean, we have to ask, where's that line between political theater and a legal case? And what you have today is truly a business dealing case. And as an attorney, I can tell you, we enter settlement agreements all the time. They are not illegal. You pay a different party that is alleging something, right, wrong, doesn't matter. You have a non-disclosure agreement and you decide not to go to trial, or in this case, you decide not to go to the media. This happens in the normal, ordinary course of business. This does not allege into a felony, but this is what they're doing. And on top of that, the only reason that Judge Mershon, who is biased and conflicted, because let's remember, he has donated twice to Joe Biden, which means he's on Team Biden, and his daughter is now fundraising for top Democrats based on Judge Mershon's rulings. I mean, this is all a conspiracy. It's an election interference conspiracy. But you have a judge that allowed for Stormy Daniels to share salacious information that was irrelevant to a business entry. She had no business being on stand other than to play a role in discounting President Trump, his reputation, his name, and trying to embarrass him. And honestly, Jeff, all of this is backfiring. You're continuing to see these poll numbers of independents, blacks, Hispanics, that typical base for Democrats that they've taken for granted, now move towards President Trump.
The best I could come up with is that if they wanted to have Ms. Daniels testify, the best she could offer that's relevant to the actual charges is, did you receive a payment? And frankly, I don't know that you need her to establish that, because I don't think the Trump team has denied there was a payment to that individual. I mean, it's pretty much, that's the whole point of it. Yes, of course there was a payment, because that's what was deducted as a business expense. It just seemed to, in any court I practice in, you'd be really limited in terms of what you could present.
You're 100% right. And again, Stormy Daniels is not the bookkeeper. She's not the one making the entry. So call in the bookkeeper. Let's talk about the financials. But again, this is a business records case. Let's remember that the Clintons and the DNC paid for legal research on this Russian collusion hoax and the Steele dossier. They marked this as a legal expense. Fast forward, the FEC got involved, the Elections Commission, and said, you denoted this incorrectly. Clinton campaign, you owe us $8,000. Thank you very much. Case dismissed. We never had the charade of 17 days. Can you imagine 17 days of Hillary Clinton sitting in a courtroom to testify over a business record? I mean, this is how insane this is. But there is a bigger conspiracy here to prevent President Trump from actually running his campaign. And I'm saying this over and over again, even Cohen testifying, this is all going to backfire because the judge has not handled the defendants in an appropriate manner. He's basically told President Trump and his whole campaign team they can't speak about these allegations, but Cohen is on TikTok. He's making hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm sure. Now he's running for Congress. I mean, this is truly a soap opera. This is not the legal system, and this isn't a democracy as I know it.
Mehek Cook, a lawyer from Ohio, joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. You know, and I think back to, and again, not to get in the weeds on these things, but let's say that you have an expert witness in a case. Cohen is not legally an expert witness, as we use that term, but if you did have an expert testifying in a personal injury accident or whatever, the first thing the opposition does is say in front of the jury, you're being paid to give this opinion, are you not, Mr. or Ms. Expert, to try to discredit it. All you have to do to Cohen is say, you're on TikTok and you're selling T-shirts. I mean, the motivation for his testimony, I mean, there's so much motivation for why he would want to testify against Trump, but the financial motivation alone, you would think, would discredit anything he says before a fair jury. Maybe that's the key phrase, a fair jury.
You're right. And you have a judge that is biased, and he's going to continue to allow irrelevant testimony to come in. And he's also kind of showed his cards, right? He has placed a gag order on a defendant, a former president, from speaking the truth. That tells you everything we need to know about this judge. He does not want President Trump speaking directly to the American people. He does not want President Trump to discredit and discount Michael Cohen, who's a serial liar. He does not want President Trump campaigning. And I think President Trump and his team have been very smart. I'm sure you're seeing this, Jeff. He has had so many surrogates in that courtroom and so many surrogates out in the country speaking on his behalf so that people hear the truth directly from people like us.
One of the things, too, that has struck me that I have not heard mentioned in the formerly mainstream media is that the jury in this case, they're not sequestered, meaning they get to go home at night, but does the judge not issue, before they leave the courtroom for lunch, before they leave the courtroom at the end of the day, a statement called the admonition where they say, members of the jury, please do not listen to news coverage. Please do not watch news coverage. Ignore all news coverage of the case. And because they do that, you have to trust the jury will abide by that admonition, in which case they shouldn't be hearing any of Trump's statements. In which case, what's the harm if he's speaking? What am I missing?
Well, I think this is truly to gag President Trump from speaking directly to the American people and mm-hmm. allowing the American people to respond. We know that this is a witch hunt and a two-tiered system of justice. When you have crimes alleged against President Trump, for which they're minor, if anything, it's an alleged business expense, and the jury that sequestered, they should have been, you're right. But at the end of the day, I have to believe that this jury is seeing and hearing a lot of news in mainstream media in New York. You can't prevent it. It is everywhere. And there's a lot of lies out there. So to allow President Trump to go out there and speak the truth is really what this judge is preventing. And by the way, this gag order extends to his campaign team. Yes. A lot of his campaign team and legal counsel can't even stand up there unless it's in court and defend President Trump.
And that's the sort of thing that, again, this is precedent setting in so many ways and not in a positive way. Let me ask you finally, all of this, the backfiring, this is where I'm going with this. This is all backfiring because, again, even the most rabid of Democrats are saying, why in the world, when you organized four different criminal prosecutions, could you not figure out how to have them happen before the election? I mean, the fact that they did this conspiracy in the time they did showed just an absolute lack of knowledge of how the legal system is supposed to work. You don't just decide to whip all these together at one time. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks on the left who are calling out those who were engaged in this conspiracy because they're failing at it so miserably.
Well, yes, and you have to also look at the legal talent behind this. You have Fannie Willis, who had an alleged affair with her boyfriend, who she hired in the Georgia case. You have the documents case where Jack Smith staged documents and had tampering of documents when it's all about confidential, privileged, sensitive information. And now we have this case where you have a biased judge, a DA, and the third in the Justice Department that leaves his post in Washington, D.C. under President Biden's administration to come and prosecute this case. I mean, this has become a mockery of the judicial system. It's a mockery of what lawyers like you and I and hundreds of thousands of others that practice law see. The rule of law is being eviscerated in front of our very eyes, and it is truly appalling that we live in the United States of America, and they, these liberal elitists, think that they can lock up and jail somebody for no crime at all. Except for being a Republican. That's the crime today. It's political hatred.
And threatening their cushy way of life. And what I really think is tragic is the fact that the American people are going to have a lack of respect for the judicial system when in reality most of it functions quite well, best in the world. These are the worst examples of atrocities, but I'm afraid it's just going to undermine the average citizen's confidence in the system, and that truly would be tragic for the Republic.
You're right, and I think that we need to get back to law and order and rule of law. And look, just like these liberal leftist elites went after our police and the Back the Blue movement, our police are making a resurgence because we need them now more than ever. I truly think our rule of law will be reestablished under stronger leadership when President Trump is back in office. This weaponization of the legal system needs to stop. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. When I'm an attorney, I am representing you as an individual, and my job and my oath is to ensure that I am looking to make sure that there's elements when I'm prosecuting or if there's a crime alleged, and that's it. The minute you let politics infiltrate a courtroom, that's when you have lost your moral duty, your legal obligation, and the American people's trust.
So well said, Ms. Cook. Thanks so much for the excellent analysis and taking the time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
You as well. Mehek Cook, attorney in Ohio, speaking on behalf of the Trump team. And again, she can speak because she's not affiliated with them. Anyone else affiliated with the campaign or the legal team can't speak for fear of Mr. Trump being held responsible and put in jail. That's where we are in Joe Biden's America. 901-260-5926. That's how we'll continue the conversation. You call that number. We'll get connected here in the Liberty University studio, and we'll talk to you in the next segment directly. 901-260-5926. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along in this edition of the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. 901-260-5926 is how you can connect with us. Yeah, I was out shopping the other day here in where I'm based in Waterloo, Iowa, and there's no Bed Bath & Beyond store anymore. That's where you used to go to get MyPillow products. But then they canceled Mike Lindell, and the business went away. What do you know? Go woke, go broke. You've heard, of course, of Mike Lindell and the MyPillow products no longer having support of certain stores. Some of these are big box stores. Some of them, the shopping channels that they made a lot of money for, quite honestly. Certainly not the support that used to be there. This is cancel culture. Exhibit A, if you will. Well, here's the good thing from a business standpoint. If you're MyPillow and you no longer have to share profits with a store, you can reduce your price, keep your profit margin where it needs to be for what you need, and pass the savings on to customers. Now, there are some businesses that would have just forgotten the stores, kept the price high, and then made much more money, but that's not how they do it. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are passing all the savings directly on to you, and they're doing it right now with something that I didn't believe the first time I heard the ad, a $25 extravaganza. Obviously, MyPillow started as a one-product company, and I swear by them, that MyPillow is fantastic. That original product, life-changing. And with the help of dedicated employees, primarily up there in Minnesota, they now have hundreds of products. You may not even know about some of them because new ones are being added to the product list all the time. So why don't you check out the $25 extravaganza? For example, two-pack multi-use MyPillows, two-pack, he said, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Six-pack towel sets, $25. You figuring the pattern here? Brand new four-pack dish towels? Yeah, they haven't had those before, but you can have them for just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. And if your order is over $75, you're going to get free shipping too. So it's $25 on all these different products. And as you can imagine, this can't last long. What an amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to get the best discount. Or if you like, pick up the phone and call 800-839-8506. Again, MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. But be sure you use promo code STARNS. That's promo code STARNS, MyPillow.com. A great American success story there. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and that means it's primary election day in a trio of states of note: Maryland, Nebraska, West Virginia. Not necessarily because of the presidential race, of course, but it is interesting because there are some fine primary races to see who's going to be on a ballot for U.S. House and U.S. Senate. Watch very carefully in these places like Maryland and Nebraska and West Virginia to see who wins the nomination and by how much, because that could give you real insight into the November general election and ultimately whether or not the Republicans can regain control of the Senate. You know, there are more Republican U.S. senators than Democrats. It's just that the Independents caucus with the Democrats. That's the razor-thin margin we're talking about. One more hour coming up. Please stay here. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on 150 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the free state of Iowa and my home base at the home of Todd Starnes in Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXCL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd making his way back from Georgia to Memphis even as we speak. He'll see you on the TV box on Newsmax 2 for the program at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central today. And, of course, he'll be back behind this microphone in the Liberty University studio tomorrow. 901-260-5926 is how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. That's 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, they're English sentences. You'd think I could read them. We're in the Liberty University studio and relying on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to connect us with a return guest to the program. And I'm pleased to speak with him again, Ryan Walters. Mr. Walters is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Oklahoma. Mr. Walters, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for joining us on the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jeff. Yes, sir, I'm doing great. We're fighting back against Joe Biden here in Oklahoma. We're not going to let him take over our schools with his radical Title IX rewrite there that's just pure insanity. And so, hey, we're alive and well here in Oklahoma, but let me tell you something. We're not going to bow down to the federal government on something that radical. It's not going to happen here.
Well, and this is what I love, is that you folks are walking the walk, not just talking the talk. There are a lot of folks who are willing to sit on the sidelines and complain about things. You're getting things done. You sued the Biden administration. That's not a small effort. Tell us what it took to get the backing to do that and what the claims are in this lawsuit about their proposed changes to Title IX.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff, because you're exactly right. One of the things that we're all about here is, I see folks come and speak out against Joe Biden and say they're not for the things. But what are we doing to fight back? And so my team, we've been working on this for months. What's going to happen when they do this radical rewrite of Title IX with this just woke nonsense? So we were very clear here. We're the only State Department of Education in the country to sue Joe Biden on Title IX. So our agency is a state of Oklahoma, just the Department of Education. We sued Joe Biden. And we said, here's the deal. Number one, you don't have the authority to rewrite Title IX up out of the blue. So, number one, the Federal Department of Education shouldn't exist, to be frank with you, Jeff. It should not exist. Mm-hmm. But they do not. They only have certain authorities been given over to them. They don't have the ability to do that, number one. Number two, they broke their own rulemaking process in the creation of this rule. Because, again, they're sitting here trying to rush this through. They're trying to figure out ways to justify a power they don't have. They didn't even follow their own process. And then number three, they cannot change the definition here of a gender without pointing to something that gives them the authority to do that. They just can't do that. So when you take a step back, we knew we were going to sue. We knew we were going to do this instantly. We were the only state to do it. And yet we heard people go, wow, well, state departments, this is kind of a big lift. And we said, no, we are absolutely game for that. The second thing we did, I think, is nearly just as important. We already had a legal memo ready, and we told all of our districts, do not comply. We did not want any kind of legal ambiguity out there for our district schools going, well, the Biden administration says this, but there's a lawsuit, so what do we do in the meantime? They all get a legal memo from us saying, you do not comply with the Biden administration. That is an order from your state department. We have state law, state rules. We have an impending lawsuit. Do not comply. And frankly, the feedback from parents across the state on this has been tremendous. They have thanked us for fighting Biden, but they've also thanked us so much for saying, hey, not going to happen here. We are not going to be under this type of compliance from this tyrannical regime. And so they were very thankful that we right out of the gate were very clear that we're not going to follow that guidance.
So what kind of pushback did you get? Because Oklahoma is a state full of good people, just like my home state of Iowa, but we have rural areas and urban areas, and I find that the urban areas are more woke and more blue, and when you try to do something, they're the ones who stand up with the pushback from the teachers' union, etc. Have you had a problem getting your districts to follow your instruction, your direction as the state superintendent?
No, we have not, Jeff, and I will tell you, I mean, we've dealt with our woke superintendents over here in our woke districts. I mean, we have really laid down the law. I've been in office. I was voted in about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And we came right out of the gates and said, listen, if you're a district that pushes a woke agenda, so you push CRT, you push DEI, these are against state law, state statute, you're not going to be an accredited district, okay? You're not going to sit here and create a woke factory here in your own school and allow us to continue funding you with state funds and everything else. Not going to happen. Number two, we told woke administrators, if you're going to continue to break the law and push pornography on kids, things like this, we're going to take your certificate. So I'm going to tell you, we ran off the biggest superintendent in the state. We had her fired from the biggest district in the state in Tulsa, had her replaced with a lady who's doing a great job over there right now. And so we really have laid down the law of, look, we're not going to put up with it here in Oklahoma. We run the teachers union down to school. We make them disclose their financials. We push back on them trying to automatically take money from teachers every month. And so we've really laid down the law in a way that I think has been very clear. Now, when we tell you you're not going to do this woke gender game, we mean it. And so, no, we have had complete compliance here with that. I mean, the teachers union, you know, they try to say that they're not going to, no, we should still do it. We follow Joe Biden. You know, I mean, he's like a king to them. So they try to do that. But we haven't seen a school district push back on us on that one yet.
Ryan Walters is the state superintendent of public instruction in the state of Oklahoma. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Title IX, again, is a piece of legislation. It is a law. And to the point that you mentioned earlier, this is just another example of the Biden administration saying that just because they say so, they can change something. Never mind what the rule of law says or the procedure, as in Congress would need to make the change. This seems to be pretty simple, but also rather arrogant on their part.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is the thing. You know how you change a law? You change it with another law. I mean, that's the deal. Title IX, I mean, again, Jeff, I can't remember the last time I had someone say, you know, Title IX, there's a major problem with Title IX. I mean, Title IX has been universally accepted. It has protected women's sports. It's protected women where they can feel safe in the bathrooms. You know, just a lot of clarity and, frankly, common sense. But these radical left Marxists that want to destroy our society, want to destroy the family, and, frankly, want to destroy our faith, you know, they decided, hey, and, you know, it's amazing to me. The radical left, hey, they don't care what the rule of law says. I mean, we've seen that with the way that they riot in the streets, the way that they threaten, the way that they dox, the way that they bully folks. They will do it by any means necessary. And so, hey, there's been a law that's been widely popular, widely successful, protecting women for decades. Oh, who cares? We'll just rewrite it with a rule. And by the way, threaten the states. Let's be very clear about that. This is a threat. If you states don't follow this, we'll jerk your federal funding back, number one. Number two, we'll come in and prosecute teachers for using the wrong pronoun for the kids. So this is an absolute threat from the federal government to the state. And there's a reason why we've got that 10th Amendment in the Constitution that says powers not given to the federal government are reserved to the states and the people respectfully, because the founders knew very well issues like education should not be controlled by the federal government. We should have all power returned to the states in education. President Trump is 100% right. Destroy the Department of Education, give power back to the states, and then the states should do what we do here in Oklahoma. We give the power back to the families. That's really where the power in education should rest.
A number of state attorneys general have gotten together in a lawsuit to try to prevent this. As you note, your state, Oklahoma, your office, the only ones where the education department filed the action. This new change that's been proposed would go into effect August 1st. From a legal standpoint, I trust the first step is to get an injunction to stop any change from taking place. But you tell me what the legal calendar holds for your litigation.
That's exactly right. The first step is you just get an injunction so that you can start school this fall and there's no issue there from federal government trying to put this in place. So that's your first kind of legal hurdle. And then you go on from there to just try to get the whole thing thrown out. And again, you know, we're attacking them from multiple angles there legally to ensure that, again, I think they've, again, you got kind of the base level. They don't have the authority to do this. Then secondly, you've got the, well, they don't even have the authority by the way that they broke their own rules to do this. So they didn't even follow their own process and the authority they've been given. So we think we've really got a great case against them here. We think it's a very unique angle that we're able to provide as a State Department of Education, because, again, these federal funds flow through our agency. So, again, when they're trying to force something that's blatantly illegal through a state like this, we've already got lawsuits in the past that have been filed against the federal government saying that they cannot coerce you in ways that are illegal or against their own rules and regulations. So we think we've got a great case against them here. So we do feel like legally we're in a great position. And again, we will not comply no matter what the federal government's going to say on this one. So we're going to continue to hold firm on that. But we do think legally we've got a great case moving forward against the Biden administration.
Let me ask you finally, because I don't have children, I don't have grandchildren, so I don't know what's going on in public schools, but it seems to me that if you leave it simply to the four walls of a classroom and assume there, that's the only place learning takes place. If you don't include the parents, the family, the church, if they choose to include that, if you don't include that as part of the education, not only is it shallow in terms of what you actually present, but it's actually dangerous to not include the family. But yet there are some in this woke train who believe the school knows best and parents just better get out of their way.
And I want to tell you, I think it's incredibly nefarious. What they want to do, the reason they don't want parents involved, and look, any good teacher, go ask a good teacher, hey, is it helpful for mom and dad and grandma and grandpa to be more involved in what their kids are learning in school? The answer by any good teacher is absolutely. We want mom and dad to be involved. So why have the teachers union, why the Biden administration fought so hard to keep parents out? Well, here's why. Because their agenda is very sinister. Their agenda is for cultural Marxism to take hold. Their agenda is, so we all know Marx theory there. He wants to disconnect you from your family, from your society, from your values. And how do you do that? Well, mom and dad aren't going to allow that to happen. So you've got to create that distance between them. You've got to create kids' distrust of their parents. So now you can indoctrinate them. Now you can rewrite kind of the way they see the world around them. And that's their ultimate goal here. And by the way, this is absolutely terrible and sick that they want to do this to kids. But I even want to go a step further. Let's go 10,000-foot view. This will cause the destruction of our society. The breakdown of the family, if you look since 1962, when the Supreme Court wrongly took God and prayer out of school, we have seen a cultural decline, a cultural rot that has taken place in this country. And the Democrat Party, the teachers union, have accelerated that by driving parents out of their kids' life in any way possible. And one of their best ways of doing that has been through the school system, by allowing the teachers unions to come in and indoctrinate kids and push their parents out. This will lead to a collapse of society if we do not get this back on track. We have to keep the families intact. I tell my agency every day, everybody works for me, our number one goal is to make sure that families are intact and supported in their kids' education. Okay, that is what we want to do. Everything we do, how do we get parents more involved? How do we make sure parents see what's going on? How do we provide more transparency for parents? How do we provide more choices for parents? We want to protect that family unit, keep it together, keep them involved. We know that's not only best for schools, as well as best for society in our country.
Ryan Walter, State Superintendent of Public Instruction in the great state of Oklahoma. Keep up the good work, sir, and thank you for the time today.
I appreciate you, and love being on the show. It's a great show, so thank you very much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Line is how we made connection with Ryan Walters, State Superintendent of Public Instruction in Oklahoma. 901-260-5926 is how you can connect with us and be a part of the conversation, which continues from the Liberty University studio in a moment. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this Tuesday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He'll be back behind the mic at the home base in Memphis tomorrow. Again, 901-260-5926 to join the conversation. We have time for your calls now and right after the bottom of the hour break. Joining us at a quarter till the top of the next hour, U.S. Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa to talk about news of the day and a few items that I think you'll find of interest. We'll talk with Senator Grassley in only about 20 minutes. I stopped watching White House news conferences because there's no news that comes out of them. The press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, just simply reads from pre-written answers and doesn't deviate from it. That's actually one of the things that's scariest about what I'm going to tell you here. She was asked if she would comment about these criminal trials that are being held against President Trump. Could you comment from the White House podium about these criminal trials? Now, that's sort of like putting a ball on a tee for a five-year-old, isn't it? I mean, whoever's at that podium, if they have any competency whatsoever, can smile and talk about the judicial system and we just want to let the process work and the American people can make their judgment. I mean, you know, it's damning with faint praise, right? I mean, she could have done that if she had even a modicum of competency at her disposal. But as we know, she does not. And so she's reading a prepared answer, flipping in the binder to find the prepared answer if you're asked to comment on these cases against President Trump. Here's what she says. She says she cannot comment on them, on these trials, because it's related to the 2024 elections. Back the truck up, Chester. What did she just say? I cannot comment on this because it's related to the 2024 elections. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought these criminal trials had nothing to do with the 2024 election. I thought these criminal trials were the logical outgrowth of holding someone accountable for misdeeds, and politics had nothing to do with it. I thought this wasn't some sort of orchestrated scheme designed to keep one of the leading candidates, presumptive nominee of one of the two major parties, away from the campaign trail. I thought that wasn't at all what it was. Or she said the quiet part out loud, as people are pointing out today. And this is the part where I said, it's amazing. This was the response. They wrote this down so that if you're asked about various things, related to the elections, I can't comment. Oh, my goodness. Just absolutely admitted it. It'd be one thing if she misspoke and then could walk it back. But nope, that's what she was reading from the binder. The binder with answers to all questions in the world. Oh, my goodness. I guess it's good that they admit it. We all have figured it out, but it's nice of them to jump on board. We'll be back after this bottom of the hour break. Before the end of the hour, Senator Charles Grassley, Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio. Final half hour of the Todd Starn Show for this Tuesday. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. We have some time to take your calls at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hurry, though, because we're going to take a break in a few minutes. So we have plenty of time with U.S. Senator Charles Grassley coming up live at a quarter till the hour. This gives me a chance, though, also to say thanks to the great Todd Starnes team, Lydia handling the calls, Dylan on the board and connecting with me, Grace arranging all of the guests and having everything organized. It is always a privilege to talk to you folks, but it is even more of a privilege to have such a great team helping out. And I'm going to lean into the microphone because this is sort of a secret part. I'm going to tell you a secret. I love doing this because it's a different type of show than the one I do in Iowa. And so it gives me a chance to do different things, and that's always great fun. But today, the staff at the four radio stations here at my home base, they all got together for a big staff meeting. And because I was here, I didn't have to go. Not that these meetings aren't wonderful experiences. I mean, work meetings? More of those, please. But I didn't have to do that because I was here with you. Sometimes things just work for a reason. And if the boss is listening because the meeting got out early, I was just kidding. I'd love to come to as many meetings as possible. 901-260-5926. This is something that I find really fascinating, and I am going to ask Senator Grassley about it in about 10 minutes. But Joe Biden is trying to stop giving weapons to Israel because he's afraid they will be used in Rafah. Well, this sounds painfully familiar to me and inconsistent. What? The Biden administration with an inconsistency? I know, right? When the Biden administration thawed $6 billion of Iranian assets for humanitarian aid, and the criticism was, they're just going to use that money for arms. No, they won't. It's earmarked for humanitarian aid. Well, yeah, but they'll just take the money they would have used for humanitarian aid and now use it on weapons. No, they would never do that. They're an honest and honorable people, those Iranians who held 57 members of the American delegation hostage for 444 days back in 1979 and beyond. No, no, we can trust these people. That was the Biden administration approach. Don't blame us for giving them those assets because they're not going to use that for military purposes. Okay, if the Biden administration was willing to believe the Iranians, I'm sure Prime Minister Netanyahu would have said, you don't want us to use these weapons in Rafah? Okay, we won't. We promise. Well, then the Biden administration says, well, wait a minute. Then you're going to use weaponry from some other place in Rafah. You can't do that. You can't shift it around. The Israelis would say, but we promise. We won't. Why is it that the Biden administration believed Iran when it said it wasn't going to shift assets around, but they don't believe Israel? They don't believe the staunchest ally we have had in the 76 years of existence of the nation. We won't believe them, but we'll believe the Iranians. Even when the Iranians came out later and said, we're going to use the money however we bloody well want to. It is maddening to me to see this administration, in the name of the United States of America, backing the terrorists. It's bad enough that, in essence, we're funding both sides of the war. But it is especially egregious when, in the name of the United States, you have our president, our secretary of state, telling Israel how to respond to a terror attack and a slaughter of innocents. The arrogance of these people and doubling down because they're sure they're right about things, when Joe Biden hasn't been right about a foreign policy issue, perhaps ever, but certainly the last 2.5 decades. It's an embarrassment, but I could handle an embarrassment. What I can't handle is abandonment of allies and people who trusted us. And that's what's happening. We would rather, as a nation, believe the Iranians as opposed to the Israelis. That's how bad things have gotten. We'll take the break now so we can maximize our time with Senator Grassley coming up in about 4 minutes. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks so much for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show coast to coast. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Final segment of this Tuesday program. Todd will be back with you on Newsmax 2 and the Starnes Show today at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, and, of course, behind this microphone from home base in Memphis tomorrow. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the senior senator from the state of Iowa, the Honorable Charles Grassley. Senator Grassley, Jeff Stein here for Todd. How are you, sir?
Very good. I'm kind of surprised. Usually only when I talk to you, I'm talking to Iowans. Now I'm talking to people all over the United States, right?
You are coast to coast, sir, and it's what you deserve after serving in Congress this long. Tell us about, and again, I make reference of your long career in public service because you've seen a lot of things come and grow. You served in the Senate with now President Biden. This routine of we're going to be conditional in weapons to help Israel fight terrorists. What's your reaction to that? I don't think much of it, but what's the senator's reaction?
Completely contrary to what he has said most of his political career, being supportive of Israel, and particularly on October the 7th, and for a long time afterwards, many, many weeks afterwards, saying we're going to back Israel to the hilt. We got to get rid of Hamas. And that's what Israel is trying to do to defeat these terrorists that invaded Israel. And we ought to be giving Israel all the help we can, because Hamas is a terrorist organization so-called by our United States government. And we shouldn't be in any way helping terrorists. And by not giving the tools to win this war, President Biden is violating a relationship that, of several decades with Israel. And he also is not carrying out his promises that he made way back in October, November, December of helping Israel. And it's just a sad commentary that he would take those change of heart for terrorists that indirectly is helping a terrorist organization.
Well, and it's even more egregious to me in that the White House called upon Congress to pass these bills to provide, and there was aid to Ukraine and other things. It was all packaged together by the time it came to you folks in the Senate. But they insisted on how this was necessary, did they not? And to then to put the brakes on, that seems to be flat-out lying to members of the U.S. Senate.
And a violation of the anti-impoundment laws of 1974. You know, Nixon, when he was president, Congress would appropriate money, and he'd decide not to spend it. So Congress passed the Anti-Impoundment Act, and the president has to spend the money the way Congress indicated and in the amount Congress indicated, and he's violating that law.
It seems that this president is doing a lot of things like that. I'm thinking about student loan bailouts, etc. This is usurping the authority of the Congress with the power of the purse, is it not? All of these things we've been discussing?
The same way that Nixon was trying to do it when he was president, and the reason Congress responded and said, we have power of the purse, we tell you to spend money, you don't have the authority to decide what money you're going to spend and not spend, and that's why the Anti-Impoundment Act was passed in 1974.
In casting the vote you have in favor of some of these bills that would fund things like Ukraine, Israel, etc., you've drawn some parallels in history to suggest why it was important for you as a senator to back supporting Ukraine to this level at this point. Remind us of some of the reasons, because, of course, you've seen the things where people say, why are we spending so much darn money? Why are these Republicans voting for some of these bills? You've been very clear about your rationalizations for the votes, and I'd like you to share those if you would.
Yeah. Ukraine left the Soviet Union 1991. They left with the nuclear power that they had because they were part of the Russian Empire. Russia, the United States, and England thought that it'd be better if Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons. Ukraine was willing to do that. In turn, the three countries signed the Budapest Agreement in 1993, guaranteeing the sovereignty of Ukraine. Well, Russia violated that sovereignty. And if we're part of an agreement to protect the sovereignty of the country, and we don't help protect it as our money is helping protect it, then we're going to lose credibility. So that's one reason. Another reason is what Putin is up to as president of Russia. In 2005, he gave a speech saying that the breakup of the Soviet Union was a geopolitical disaster of the 20th century, the greatest one. And he's going to set out now through previous speeches, plus his actions of reestablishing the Russian Empire. That obviously includes Ukraine. But he's also talking about there's Russian-speaking people in Latvia that I need to protect. There's Russian people speaking in Moldova that I need to protect. He's already had some intervention in Georgia, as an example. And he's about establishing that Russian Empire. Well, if he does it in Ukraine, then does he go into Poland, like Poland was part of Russia under the Tsarist Empire, Tsarist Russia? Where does it, once that kicks in, then it starts involving the United States and NATO, because all 31 countries are committed to pledging their support for anybody that's invaded. And not only would it cost 10 times more money to defend Poland if he went in there, or Latvia, or any of those countries, we'd not only be spending more American money, but we would be spending American blood as well. So stopping Putin in Ukraine is very important to protect American and keep our obligations under the NATO treaty.
We've got about 4 minutes left with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show. I want to shift gears, Senator, on a topic that I don't think gets enough attention nationally, and here's our chance to fix that. The regular farm bill. And there may be people listening saying, well, who cares? But the fact of the matter is, if you eat, you ought to care about the farm bill, especially since the percentage of money that goes to places other than the farm is so big. What's the problem with getting a farm bill passed?
Well, first of all, everybody listening ought to appreciate the 2% of the American people in this country that are farmers feeding the other 98%. They need to be praised every day. And the safety net program that we call the Farm Bill is 85% food stamps, only 15% for agriculture, and only a very small percentage of that 15% might end up in a family farmer's pocket. And it's a safety net is to protect the farmers against things beyond their control, war in Ukraine, natural disasters, presidential embargoes, locks and dams on the Mississippi River not working, et cetera, et cetera. That's what the safety net's all about. So we pass a farm bill every 5 years. The last one was in 2018. So it run out in 2023. Should have been passed in 2023. It didn't get passed. So we extended it for a sixth year. It'll probably be extended for a seventh year, because I don't think we're going to get a five-year farm bill through this year. And the reason we aren't going to get it through is the Democrats want to spend more money on food stamps and not put more farm in the farm bill the way it should be. 15% is not enough. And then, and the purpose of that is for the safety net programs that protect farmers. The 2018 Farm Bill doesn't reflect the inflation in interest rates, diesel fuel, seed, chemicals, fertilizer, that farmers are paying a lot more for. And the safety net program needs to has some holes in it, and it needs to be patched. And that's what's keeping the five-year farm bill from being negotiated, because the Democrats want to spend more money on food stamps instead of helping the family farmer.
And again, it's a matter that nobody could expect the prices given the Biden inflation to be the same after a six-year period, certainly not in these things like fertilizer, where Ukraine was involved and they were a big supplier of fertilizer. And I've only got about another minute.
Yeah. Well, I think the inflation you're talking about, this Biden inflation, is reflective in the fact that it not only affects farmers' input, and that's why we ought to change the farm bill to reflect that, but it's also for a family of four in Iowa, about $7,600 at additional income. So Biden is saying inflation's down to about 3%. We're making real progress on it. You can get inflation down to zero, but you still got this $7,600 that people are going to be paying for their goods and services the rest of their life. It's burnt into it. So you can get inflation down to zero, but you still got Biden inflation that's going to be reflected for decades into the future.
Because otherwise you'd have to have negative inflation to get us back before Biden took office, and that's never happened. U.S. Senator Charles Grassley from the great state of Iowa, my neighbor down the road, thanks so much for taking the time, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
God bless you. Goodbye.
Senator Grassley joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tony in North Carolina, sorry, didn't have time for you. Please call Todd tomorrow. And that's a way of reminding you that Mr. Starnes is back tomorrow behind the microphone. Today on Newsmax 2 at 5 Eastern, tomorrow back here. Jeff Stein filling in. Great privilege as always, folks. Thanks for being along on this Tuesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show.